Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
This is Bud.
We are coming to you live from beautiful Des Moines, Iowa, which has been raining for Noah-type 40 days almost, it seems like. 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming live, iowacatholicradio.com. And if you have the Iowa Catholic Radio app, which we have Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company to thank, you can listen to us anywhere that you can get an internet signal. Bud, you've made it today. You don't look like you're too drenched.
I thought about breaking out the Arc, but the Honda Civic fared okay.
That's right. It's only Honda Civic type rain at this point and not gopher bark and everything like that.
Yeah, we're speaking about pilgrimage today. I heard you took the family on a pilgrimage to IKEA this weekend.
Yeah, it was.
How'd that go?
It was as horrible as it sounds, folks. I'm sorry if you're IKEA fans out there, but at the end of time, God will inform you that you were incorrect. The furniture is awful. And then, of course, to punish us, most of my kids started puking. So it was
at the side of IKEA.
Yeah,
there were other factors involved.
Yes, well, maybe, but I think it was sort of biblical in that regard.
Okay.
Yeah. we are, well, on that note, our underwriters yes. who are not like IKEA,
no.
Your kids will not get sick just at the mere sight of them. The first one, of course, Bud and I, gainfully employed, as always, by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where we are really starting to wrap up the semester. And in wrapping up the year, we have for you on April 6th, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., the last of our Faith and Healing series, Dr. Chad Pecknold. It's going to be a fantastic talk. He's going to talk about the title is called When the Dead Can Heal, and he's going to talk about St. Augustine and the City of God, talking about the healing that occurred in the martyrs' tombs and how that sort of informs the ministry of healing in the church's understanding. But it's going to be great. If you want to sign up for that, mchs.edu/faithandhealing. Also, as always, underwritten by Cartridge World.
Yep, Cartridge World. For businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable ink and toner cartridges, Cartridge World has all that you need.
801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. And as always, business customers can pick up and deliver, and they are committed to recycling and environmentally friendly printing. Well, Bud, what all this rain does tell us is that we're moving away from winter. It's not snow all the time anymore, although I've been warned in Iowa you can have a good old April snow too. But mostly we're heading towards spring. And as the flowers start to bloom and the birds chirp, Bud, and people are going down to the Twist and Shout with their milkshakes and finding their best gal and doing the whatever, it's time for us to talk about going on pilgrimages. Well, at least that's how the Canterbury Tales would put it.
Yeah.
It is the time to go look out to maybe get out of Des Moines. And to do so, you can go to a wonderful place. What we're going to talk about today is the Shrine of the Grotto of the Redemption in West Bend, Iowa. Today, who do we have with us, Bud?
So Andy Milam is the director of marketing there and oversees events at the Shrine. He's a good friend of ours, but we're excited. He gave us permission to refer to the Shrine of the Grotto of Redemption, shorthand, as the Grotto Shrine. So I'm going to stick with that the rest of the show.
Grotto Shrine. So when we get back, we're going to talk with Andy. He's going to talk not only about his grotto and shrine and how wonderful it is, how close it is to Des Moines, and how you guys should all go out there, but talk in general about how what this has to do with the common good, public space, and all that. So stick around. In a minute, we'll be back with Andy Milam. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo and Bud.
Iowa Catholic Radio has an opening for a part-time production assistant. Responsibilities include recording and editing audio, as well as producing live shows, remotes, and sports broadcasts. Previous radio experience is desired, but training is possible for the right candidate. A flexible schedule is necessary for this position. For immediate consideration, email your resume and cover letter to careers@iowacatholicradio.com. Iowa Catholic Radio is an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomio saying thank you, Bozen the Florist, for underwriting my show, Catholic Connection, and also for your great support of Iowa Catholic Radio for more than 10 years.
Flowers are a timeless gift. At Bozen the Florist, we believe in providing the best services all over the globe. Hi, this is Tom Bozen, and we've opened a new store in West Des Moines at West Glen Town Center. With Bozen's, you get fresh flowers 24-7 with same-day delivery anywhere in the world or around the corner. No rush, no fuss, 515-244-ROSE or online at Bozen.com.
We're back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Marr. We have with us a very special guest, Andy Mila, Marketing and Public Relations Coordinator for the Shrine of the Grotto of the Redemption in West Bend, Iowa. And as Bud said before the break, we're going to call it the Grotto Shrine from here on out. We are happy to have you here. Andy, how are you doing today?
Doing good, fellas. How are you?
It's, like I said, a rainy day, but I still like that better than the 100 degree heat dome, so I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
Yeah, brace yourself, Bo. It's coming.
It is.
The heat dome is coming.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah, I felt one.
Just one?
Just one so far. But it's not 50, no, what did we have, 64 straight days of 100 degree weather in Wichita, Kansas one year. So.
Wow. Oh. Well, I'd okay. rather have that. So yeah. I'm originally from Memphis, so it's I'd rather take that.
Well, so Andy, one of the things I guess maybe people aren't even aware of, I was talking on John Leonetti's show this morning. We have a grotto in Des Moines. It's a small, nice little grotto outside of St. Anthony's church down here in the south side of town. But I don't know if people realize the extent of the grotto. Like, well, first of all, that we have a grotto like this in Iowa, not too far away, and just the sort of extent and grandeur of it. So if you can fill us in a bit on the Grotto Shrine, we'd love to hear about that.
Sure. The Grotto Shrine was started in 1912 by Father Paul Doberstein, and as of today, it is considered to be the world's largest man-made shrine, or man-made grotto in the world. And a grotto is literally a man-made cave. That's how you know what is a grotto, right? So when you look at it, they can occur naturally, like at Masa Biel in Lourdes. You know, that would be a grotto as well, or they can be man-made, and that's what we have in West Bend. So you know, just kind of a real quick story. Father Doberstein was originally from Germany, right, southern Germany, and a real Catholic area. Wanted to become a priest. His bishop said, "Nope, we have too many."
Oh, how things could have been.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And so at that point, you know, he says, well, what can I do? And the bishop in Germany said, well, I have this bishop friend in the United States, Bishop Loris, and he's looking for prayer, looking for men to go to seminary. And Doberstein said, sign me up. And so off he runs. You know, he comes over to the States and starts in seminary and goes to St. Francis in Milwaukee. And while he's there, he comes down with double pneumonia. Now, in our world today, right, that's just a round of antibiotics, stay home for 2 days from school, and then, you know, pretty much you're going to be better. You know, in the 1880s, not so much, right? Right. So while he's in seminary, he contracts this, and he's laying on his, literally, the way the story goes is he's laying on his deathbed and says a prayer, offers a prayer up to our Lord through the Blessed Virgin and says, you know, if I'm healed, I'm going to build a shrine to the Blessed Virgin in gratitude. And he was healed. And so when he got to West Bend, so he came to West Bend in 1896. Once he got to West Bend, he started building what is now known as the Trinity Grotto, or the first grotto of what has now become nine separate grottos that are linked together, right? So, and he built that. And over the course of 2 or 3 years, it was done, and he just decided to keep going. And literally, it turned into what we have today, right? So, I mean, he got through seven of the nine grottos before he died in 1954. So from 1896 to 1954, one pastor in West Bend, mm-hmm. and his father, Paul Doberstein. In 1947, he started to fall a little ill and was getting older and slowing down, and so they sent him an associate from Willie, Iowa, which is kind of up in Carroll County. And his name was Father Louis Graving. And Father Graving ended up staying from 1947 until 2002 when he died.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So you start putting the numbers together, right? So from 18, and Father Graving retired as pastor at St. Peter and Paul in West Bend in about 1988. But he remained on at the grotto. So the grotto had literally two priests assigned to it for, you know, over 100, well, for, you know, 1912 to 2002, so 90 some years. It's pretty amazing, story, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of black sedans only driven by two priests.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know, a funny story about that. Father Doberstein, you know, came with nothing. Came with a cassock on his back, and that's about all he came with, right? And he started a Catholic school, and kids would come clear up from Fort Dodge. So if you don't know, that's about a 40-mile drive. Today, 40-mile drive, right? So, but in the old days, they used to take a rail car up, and they used to hand pump that rail car up. Well, Doberstein would go down on her hand rail car, hand pumping his whole way down, and it going downhill to get to Fort Dodge. And then he would have to pump the whole way coming back up, you know.
Right.
And he literally, that's how it would go. And he'd stop along the way and say mass, and he'd come back up, you know, and grab children, bring the children back, and he'd go to school, and then the kids would go home. You know, it was crazy. But that's, so speaking about having black sedans, it was kind of like more like a, you know, rail car.
Oh, wow. Well, and then real quick, before we get into the sort of theology of all this, if people are interested in going, just off the bat here, where they can go, how far is it from Des Moines and some issues like that?
It's about an hour and 45 minutes, almost 2 hours, depending on what route you take and how you go up. I mean, if you want to enjoy the scenery of Western Iowa, right, mm-hmm. And enjoy kind of some of that, it's going to take you close to 2 hours, and I'd recommend doing that once or twice, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you know, if you want to be like the, you know, like the mass people or like the mass transit people, you just take the interstate up, to take 35 north to 20, take 20 over to 169, 169 up, you catch B63, which is a county road, right? And you just pops you right into West Bend. So it's a real easy drive. I would recommend the first time, though, taking the scenic route.
And westbendgrotto.com is where they can get information,
right,
about visiting.
Yep, like www.westbendgrotto.com.
So. Okay. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Bud Maher.
So, Andy, a big part of your ministry at the Grotto is encouraging Catholics to take pilgrimage. And pilgrimage in the Catholic Church is a venerable tradition. I mean, for Catholics, this isn't simply sightseeing, right?
Right.
This can be an integral part of our spiritual journey. Could you talk some about the roots of pilgrimage and how that can still be a source of, like, real spiritual growth for Catholics today?
Sure. Well, pilgrimages go clear back to the very beginning, right? So when we think about pilgrimage, we have this kind of this idea of, you know, walking the Camino, right? You know, in the movie The Way, which would be the most recent thing. It doesn't need to be nearly as serious as that. It can be something as simple as just going and finding a church and walking into a church and taking some time to pray in the church and then leave. That's a pilgrimage, right? But finding a religious place and having a religious place that is dedicated strictly to having people come is something that goes clear back, right? So when we think about it, think about when Jesus went up to Jerusalem at the Passover, right, on Palm Sunday, which we're coming up on, that was pilgrimage. That's literally what he was doing. So he was making pilgrimage from the Galilee to Jerusalem, coming up to Jerusalem, right? And then, you know, hopefully when you come, it won't end the same way, but,
right,
you know, right? I mean, but pause, you know, but
ease
but,
into your pilgrimage.
That's right, yeah. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to get crucified the first time you go, okay, right? So, but, you know, the other side of this whole thing is that when you come and you do, you can kind of go through a spiritual pillar. You can go through a spiritual crucifixion if you want. That's it. The intensity of the pilgrimage is entirely up to you, right? It's one of the glories of the Catholic Church is that there's a real sense of interior growth that comes from this. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, the idea of going someplace to pray and separating yourself from the mundane, yeah, and separating yourself from what you're normally used to doing so that you're not just walking up to your parish church and going, well, I love that crucifix because I've seen it 500 times, or I love those stations because I've seen those 500 times, or, you know, I mean, or when you go and you want to go to confession, right, you're not going to the same priest that's heard every single confession that you've ever made, right? That's part of the experience too, is that you're experiencing something new and you can have some sort of growth that can come out of that.
Yeah. So, we've spoken in this show quite a bit. We've tried to expand what people think of when we talk about the common good, and especially sort of social teaching that often gets bogged down in just mere politics. So we've had different shows where we've talked about how the church's redeeming of time and, like, the liturgical seasons and stuff, it makes a sort of impact in a way people don't realize. We've also talked about how in space, ordering things like towns, like, what do you have at the center of your town? The medieval town had the church. We have the financial sinners. What does that mean? It seems to me that pilgrimages are sort of a combination of this. This is where time and space come together in an ordered way to either remind us or form us in a way that we can say being on a journey, going from point A to point B, from this time to that time, is indicative or even reflective of what we're doing in general as we're trying to make it to heaven.
No, that's true. That's right. You know, I mean, and one of the things that we look at in North Central Iowa and having, you know, and having the understanding of what goes on with the grotto is that the surrounding towns around, as you come into West Bend, so you've got towns like Fort Dodge, you've got towns like Humboldt, you've got towns like Emmitsburg and Bancroft and Algona. All of these towns have glorious Catholic churches, right? That were built in the early days, right? And, or in the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, and they're glorious churches, right? And they didn't have the money to kind of tear them down in the 60s. So they've all pretty much remained intact. And so being able to stop on the way and, you know, go into, you know, as you come through on 169 and you come up to St. Joseph, Iowa, right, then you can go into you can stop into the church because it's literally outside of a business. It's the only thing there with a few houses around it, mm-hmm. right? And you can walk in there and you go, whoa. You know, you see the high altar and you see the, you know, you see the architecture and you're like, this is glorious. And then you start hunting around trying to find other churches, and that's what happened. It's, you know, and then St. Peter and Paul in West Bend is a church that's that way too. It's done in an Italianate Baroque style, and it's absolutely gorgeous. You can see pictures of it on the website for the grotto too. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, teaching college students, I mean, one question that I'll get sometimes maybe from non-Catholic students is excuse me, with all the issues in the world, why does the Catholic Church dedicate so many resources to building like beautiful churches or a shrine like this? And so thinking about the public good, I think there's this kind of false dichotomy where our Lord commanded us to give alms, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And those things are non-negotiable. The church alongside of that has also always built beautiful sacred spaces and great sacrifices have been made to do so. You think about someone like Father Paul Doberstein and all the various generations that he's blessed through this shrine because of the sacrifices that were made. I mean, could you talk about the theology even of like the beauty that's here at the shrine?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, his vision, his goal was, you know, first and foremost, it was to honor the Blessed Virgin, right? So there's theology in that when you start looking at Mariology, and, you know, we could spend, you know, five shows talking about Mariology. But what he realized is that once he got that one built, it wasn't enough. And that he needed to do more to bring, you know, to bring God's message and to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. So what he did is he continued on and he said, how am I going to best do that? And his answer was through telling the story of redemption. So then literally it becomes Paradise Lost. And then he tells the story of the Beatitudes and he tells the story of the rich young man, you know, and then he gives the Stations of the Cross and then he goes to Gethsemane and then he goes. I mean, so, it, you know, all of these are different grottos and all of these are different things to look at. Now, the other side of that is that he tells the story in three ways. So he tells the story theologically. So you get the story, right? Yeah. He also tells it through geology. So he brings in the earth and the natural order of things, because you're going to see things like Carrara marble statues. You're going to see, you know, scoria from burnout mines in North Dakota. You're going to see azurite, malachite, all these different things that are coming from everywhere, from Brazil to Russia to, you know, all over the world that are going to be brought in. You know, there's thyropol, which would be pearls, right? Mm-hmm. And those come from South America, right? I mean, so you see all these different things that are part of it, right? Yeah. There are rubies in the grotto, right? I mean, there are different things that are there, and it all that just adds to the glory, because it's God's creation being used in a way that gives glory to God. And then the third piece of that, so you have the theology, and then you have the geology, and the third is the architecture, mm-hmm. right? So when you look at it, and the way that the caves, the man-made grottos or the caves are built, right, they are built in a way that give glory to God and show that by doing these things, these places are set apart. Each one, while connected together by courtyards and pathways and stairs, each one is separate. So when you walk into it, you feel completely at home, and you know, when you walk into what we call the Ten Commandments grotto, but it's really the story of the rich young man, right? You're completely encompassed by that story. You know, it's the everlasting question: whatever must I do to find eternal life, right?
And he answers that question. It's in Matthew's gospel, right? And he answers the question, you know, if you're going to have eternal life, you know, give up these things and follow me, right? And that's the story of that grotto. Literally, and that's it. And then you move to the next grotto. And then you move to the next grotto. And then you move, you know.
These are the treasures of the church, too. Right. I think of Palestrina's settings of the Mass or Caravaggio's paintings, St. Peter's Basilica. These have told the faith throughout the years. And it's interesting, when you visit a lot of the prominent shrines, it seems like it's the humble and the poor of the earth that are drawn to these and drawn to the beauty that the church has preserved.
Sure. I mean, it's noble simplicity, right? So when we think about what the church has taught for 2,000 years, and it was kind of emphasized, you know, the idea to emphasize it in that came through Vatican II is one thing, right? The reality of how it's carried out is a totally different thing. So we talk about noble simplicity. Mm-hmm. When you look at noble simplicity in the way that it is intended to be talked about and not just given lip service, right, that's what you find at the grotto. He's not trying to be ostentatious. You walk through this thing and you realize that, you know, you don't realize until you're done and you've gone home and you've thought about it for, you know, 2 or 3 days that you've just witnessed 59 Carrara marble statues that are part of the De Prado studio from Italy. Mm-hmm. And you think to yourself, well, if that was in a museum, that would be priceless art. And I just walked through and I was able to touch it, and I was able to, you know, rub my hands on Jesus praying in Gethsemane, and, you know, and wow, you know, and that's, and I get that every day. And I've been going to the grotto since we moved to Iowa in 1980. I've been coming to the grotto. So you start looking at it, you're just like, holy smokes. And I find something new every single day, every day. It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah.
So this is the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. Andy, we're getting to the end of our time here. So just, I mean, wonderful conversation, like you said. You said we could talk about the Virgin Mary for 5 shows. I say 6, Andy, but I guess I love her. No, I'm kidding. Right? No, I'm joking. But to wrap up stuff, to get a little bit more practical. So again, some practical questions. How long does it take to get there? Where can people stay if they want to make more of a day of it? How much does it cost? What, you know, all of these sort of things,
right,
like that.
So it takes about 2 hours to get up there, depending on your route, right? So I'll say 2 hours at the most. You want to spend about, if you're going to come up, you want to make your and give yourself probably 3 to 4 hours total. Okay, that'll give you a chance to really kind of see it. I have people who come up and they'll spend all day. They start getting into it and they're like, oh my word, you know, here we go. Yeah. You know, if you're going to stay up there, there are a couple of places you can stay. You can go into Algona and stay in Algona. You can go down to Humboldt. You can stay in Algona or in Humboldt at the hotels there. There's campgrounds. If you're a camper, Bo, if you're a camper.
That was a slight to you, Beth.
So, you know, I mean, you can.
You sunk my battleship.
There you go, right? So, but you can, you know, you can camp. We have 53 camps, camping spots, electric hookups. We don't have water, so it's not full sites, but it's close, right? And then we have a hotel across the street, you know, and you can certainly give me a call at the grotto, and I would be, you know, I can help you get set up for that. So, you know, it's worth the time. It's worth, you know, it's worth going through and seeing. A lot of people tell me that I can't do it in a day, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, you know, you're probably right. If you really want to get into it, it's going to take more than a day to do it.
So, well, so the website again, folks, is www.westbendgrotto.com. Andy Milam, Marketing and Public Relations Coordinator for the Shrine of the Grotto of the Redemption in West Bend, Iowa. Andy, it's been fantastic to have you on, and we hope to get to see you out there sometime.
It'd be great. Love to have you.
All right. God bless, Andy. We'll be back. Stick around in a minute with the Uncommon Good. This is Bo and Bud for the Uncommon Good.
Satisfied clients. Learning RX brain training programs help your child learn easier, think faster, and perform better.
Learning RX, 515-224-4819, learningrx.com.
Join St. Vincent de Paul in helping people become self-sufficient by participating in or providing a sponsorship for our 26th annual golf outing. The outing is on May 15th with a 10 o'clock shotgun start. Register on your own or with a foursome and join us for fun, fellowship, and great prizes. Sponsorships of all types are sincerely appreciated. To sign up, please call 515-282-8327, extension 10, and talk to Mary, or register online at www.svdpdsm.org.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for your support of Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Construction Professionals is a family-owned business dedicated to our customers. Whether designing, building, or renovating, we are here to better serve you. CPCustomHomes.com.
We're back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We don't have great moments in church history today. Instead, we have unbrilliant questions. Bud, I got the unbrilliant question for you. You ready?
Okay.
Bud, why is it that Catholics think that you can buy your salvation to heaven with indulgences? Didn't we have a reformation over
phase
this?
Phase those out?
Yeah. What's with you and these indulgences, Bud?
No, the Catholic Church still has a theology of indulgences, and this is related to what's called the temporal effects of our sin. So when we sin and we offend God by our sin, if we run to the altar of grace and we ask for God's forgiveness, sacred scripture tells us that God is faithful to forgive us our sins. That doesn't mean there's still an impact from what we've done. I mean, you can think about this in the natural world. If someone were to rob your house, they're arrested, they're tried for their crimes, you could forgive them and offer that complete forgiveness. There might still be some sort of consequences for that sin. When we sin, it affects us. It affects us spiritually. It affects our relationships in the world. And so there's a continuing impact from that sin. Indulgences is a way that we deal with that. And so the church, because of the infinite merits gained by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, makes available to us the treasures of God's mercy. And there's various ways. I mean, we probably don't have the time to get into how you go about gaining an indulgence. It's interesting with Andy here in the studio today, there's indulgences attached to taking a pilgrimage to the shrine, right, Andy?
Right, correct. There's a you can get a partial indulgence for coming to the grotto shrine, and what you get, right? And I'll let Bud talk more about why you get it, but what you get is if you say a Hail Mary and Our Father and a Glory Be, you pray for the Bishop of Sioux City, who would be Bishop Walker Nicholas, and for the Grotto Shrine in the Diocese of Sioux City, go to Mass and make a confession within 9 days. And it's all real simple. It literally takes about an hour and 40 minutes to do it all, right? Yeah. You get a partial indulgence. And that's one of the great benefits of coming up to see us at the Grotto. So,
and those indulgences can be offered, of course, for our loved ones in purgatory now, or even for our own soul.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Right. The bishop hasn't laid any stipulations onto who or how they're applied. It's just that they will go. So if you want to offer that indulgence for a family member, you can do that. If you want to save it for your own soul, you're certainly welcome to do that too.
So the thing is, folks, is if we're truly the body of Christ, and this is one thing that we really want to bring up again and again in our show, is that we're not just individuals, but we're a body of Christ. And if we are attached to that body that has a storehouse of grace because Christ and his saints have gained those things, by right, they're ours too if we are grafted into the body of Christ. So even though we might not be up to the sainthood of other saints, those saints share their merits with us. And so it's not buying your way into heaven, like you said, but like you said, perfecting yourself.
Right. There's one more thing that I want to kind of talk about real quick. There's no cost to coming through the grotto, right? It's all a donation. So if whatever you can give, whatever you want to give, if that's just prayers, that's all we ask.
Awesome.
So,
yeah. Well, we just at the end of the show, we try to remind you that Iowa Catholic Radio is a nonprofit, so please keep us in mind with your giving, and thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting our apostolate.
Also, if you have Bible in a Year, we can still do that. It's, 5 a.m. every morning. And then finally, one more time, April 6th, the Faith and Healing speaker series, Dr. Chad Pecknold, April 6th at 6 p.m. You can sign up for that. mchs.edu/faithandhealing. And then finally, April 9th, if you guys want to come out to Stewart, Iowa at 6 p.m., Bud, myself, and Katie Patrizio, one of our all-stars, we will be giving a talk about Lent at that time. Well, that's it for the Uncommon Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, in our families, in our city, in our state, our nation, and the entire world. This has been the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. God bless. We'll see you next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.